Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Reed, and this is the Midland Reporter Telegram Weekend Edition for Saturday, November 4th, 2023. Bush Sisters kick off book tour in Midland. The Laura Bush Institute for Women's Health was a partner for the event. Jenna Bush Hager and Barbara Pierce Bush made Midland the first stop on their book tour, appearing at an event Thursday at the Petroleum Club. Their new book, Love Comes First, is a children's book described as a joyful celebration of growing families. The book is slated to come out on Tuesday. On Thursday, the sisters and event sponsors discussed their new book, their interest in family, and the importance of literacy. Quote, we wrote this book sort of inspired by our own kids and going on our last book tour when we wrote a book about sisterhood. We would have people in the audience saying, I don't have a sister, but I brought my cousin or I brought my best friends. End quote, Barbara said. Quote, so we wanted to write a book about that, about how we have chosen family or blood family, and that love is infinite, and there's always more room. End quote. The former first daughter's last children's book was called Sisters First, an ode to sisterhood. The pair discussed their interest in the subject of family as inspiration for their books. Quote, we're twins, so we don't know the world without the other one, and it's the greatest thing in the world to have a partner in everything that you do, and obviously we feel incredibly lucky to have the family that we have and also the friends that we've gotten to choose to have in our lives, end quote, Barbara said. Quote, this feels the most inspiring to us to write about, how we can spread love and make sure that we accept others, whether or not they're similar or different to us, end quote. Jenna said having a twin is probably the most defining moment in both sisters' lives and creates inspiration for their writing. A partner for the event was the Laura Bush Institute for Women's Health. John Trishiti III, Executive Director of the Permian Basin Literacy Coalition, discussed the direct correlation between literacy and health. Quote, there's a direct correlation between literacy and health, literacy and poverty, literacy and crime, literacy and food insecurity. That's all the same client. So when we can partner with social service providers that already have these clients, and we can work in other areas to help kind of help raise awareness and begin to work in that literacy component, we really begin to see the ripple effect, end quote, he said. The Laura Bush Institute for Women's Health was established within the Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center in August 2007. According to its website, the institute was established to create a new approach to women's health care. The institute holds women's health symposiums and aims to improve the lives of women and girls in Texas and the United States by advancing multidisciplinary science in women's health. Oil leaders try to sell tax-leery Midlanders $1.4 billion school bond. When Sam Sledge walked the halls of Lee High School in the early 2000s, the aging West Texas campus had already seen better days. Dozens of small portable trailers littered the grounds to house student overflow. The chief of ProPetro Holding Corp recalls, and phys ed was downright brutal in an unair-conditioned gym. The institution has since dropped the Confederate general's name, but the physical structures at the rebranded school and others in the district have seen scant improvement, imperiling companies' ability to lure talent to the rural, oil-rich desert. Desperate to change that, drillers are urging voters on November 7th to approve the biggest ever school bond in Midland history, a $1.4 billion package to expand and refurbish its aging, overcrowded school system. Midland, like countless Texas municipalities, is outgrowing its infrastructure as companies expand their presence in the Lone Star State. A lucrative fracking industry in the Permian Basin, which pumps about 46% of the country's oil, spawning generations of extraordinary wealth and prompting supermajor ExxonMobil Corp to recently announce a $60 billion deal to become the basin's biggest player, requires a large, skilled workforce that's hard to retain given the sorry state of its hospitals, roads, and educational system. If the schools were better, Midland Oil executives say, the city would be able to draw labor to the continent's most productive shale fields at a time when companies are racing to stem the decline of America's energy influence. Quote, you're starting to see firsthand how community infrastructure can hinder business opportunities in a lot of ways, end quote, said Midland native Sledge, now ProPetro's chief executive officer. Quote, you need to move somebody here from Houston or Dallas-Fort Worth, and if they have young kids or they plan to have a family, they might be interested in visiting schools, visiting hospitals. What do the parks look like? The general quality of place and infrastructure, end quote, matters. Sledge and representatives from Diamondback Energy, Inc., Permian Resources Corp., and Pioneer Natural Resources Company, which Exxon is buying in its largest takeover in more than two decades, touted the bond's benefits to hundreds of people at a community meeting earlier this month at Midland's downtown convention center. Companies in the sector have also donated hundreds of thousands of dollars to support the cause. Quote, businesses have really gotten behind this because they know it's hard to attract people to Midland. We're way out here in the middle of nowhere, end quote, said Stan Van Hooser of Energize Midland Schools, a political action committee advocating for the bond. Among the largest donors were Chevron Corp., Diamondback, and Pioneer, which each gave $75,000, according to a Texas Ethics Commission campaign finance filing, covering roughly two-month period ended October 10th. Permian Resources donated $50,000, while closely held exploration company Endeavor Energy Resources LP and ProPetro contributed $25,000 apiece. Although there's little debate, facilities in the Midland Independent School District are in bad shape. 40% of schools are over capacity, with the district expecting to enroll about 400 new students every year. The bond's price tag is expected to prove a tough sell. Residents rejected a much smaller school improvement proposal in a nail-bitingly close 2019 vote, when inflation hadn't yet reared its head and construction costs were significantly lower. The nearly 29,000-student district has promised overall taxes won't go up, but critics sporting a small government, fiscally conservative viewpoint aren't convinced this specific measure is the answer. Quote, our main problem with the bond is not its total cost, end quote, said Rachel Walker, board president of Move Midland, a group opposing the bond. Instead, the group would rather see a series of smaller bonds over time where residents can make sure each stage is successfully executed before funding more, she said at a mid-October debate at Midland College. Quote, we recognize that there are many changes that need to happen to MISD facilities, and those do come at a cost, end quote. Residents wary of new spending also point to an unspoken underlying fear that U.S. Shale's success story could reverse course at any point, turning the Permian Basin that spans West Texas and southeastern New Mexico into a ghost town overnight, reminiscent of the post-Gold Rush era. Quote, that's been the mentality. We can't spend money now because we have it and we might need it later, end quote, said bond supporter Van Hooser. Quote, when the bust time is here, we can't spend money because things aren't going well. It's just a vicious cycle of excuses, end quote. Big spending on education is not unusual in Texas, especially in and around the major cities. But billion-dollar bonds are a harder sell in West Texas, traditionally a Republican stronghold. Years ago, as a student, ProPetro's Sledge experienced that opposition firsthand when an earlier school bond proposal was voted down. Even though more spending would have directly benefited their own teenage grandson, his grandparents voted against it, quote, purely for tax reasons, end quote, he said. District officials have claimed households' taxes won't go up if the proposal goes through, though the math is complex. Roughly 71% of the district's revenue comes from local property taxes, made up of two parts, maintenance and operations, M&O, and interest and sinking, INS. The district's so-called INS tax rate, which covers principal and interest payments on debt for projects, is projected to triple in the 2023-2024 tax year. But the M&O component, used for things like employee salaries and classroom equipment, is expected to drop following a Texas state legislature bill passed in July. A vote to raise the state's homestead exemption is on the ballot on November 7th, too, potentially offsetting any increase from the bond even further. Tim Dunn, a major Texas Republican donor and CEO of oil producer CrownQuest Operating LLC, has criticized the messaging, calling the claim the bond won't hike taxes, quote, somewhere between materially misleading and factually false, end quote. Other school districts across the state are also voting on spending plans when they head to the polls. Neighboring Ector County School District is seeking approval on a $436 million bond package. Voters in Prosper, north of Dallas, are considering multiple proposals, including $2.4 billion for new and upgraded schools and $94 million for an 8,000-seat football stadium that would be the costliest in Texas history. If passed, proceeds from the Midland bond will fund two new high schools, a new elementary school, and upgrades to existing facilities. Space constraints are a growing headache, with cafeterias overcrowded and more than half of buildings more than 62 years old. It's not just the facilities that are under stress in America's shale capital. One out of every three residents reads below a third grade level in the Permian. Delayed investment by proposing a slower investment rollout is, quote, not a solution for our kids because they are languishing in old facilities right now, and you are holding them hostage under this approach, end quote, said Josh Hamm, general counsel at West Texas Gas, who was speaking on behalf of Energize Midland Schools during the October debate with bond critic Walker. The multi-stage funding, quote, approach she just suggested is like telling a tomato plant, grow and I'll water you, end quote. Rig count falls to lowest level since February 2022. After 3 weeks of leading the U.S. rig count higher, Texas and the Permian Basin reversed course and led drilling activity lower into the first weekend of November. Oilfield services firm Baker Hughes said Friday the U.S. rig count, it is issued weekly since 1944, fell 7 rigs to 618, the lowest level since February 2022. It is also 152 rigs, or 20% below, the 770 rigs at work nationwide a year earlier. The number of rigs drilling for crude sank 8 rigs to 496, the lowest level since January 2022, and 117 less than the 613 drilling for crude last November. The number of rigs seeking natural gas inched up 1 to 118, still 37 fewer rigs than the 155 counted last year. Texas fell 7 rigs to 304, 65 fewer than the 369 rigs active across the state last year. New Mexico added 4 rigs for 104. Louisiana 1, Oklahoma 1, Pennsylvania 2, Utah 1, and Wyoming 1 joined Texas as producing states to see declines. Ohio 2 and West Virginia 1 joined New Mexico as producing states seeing increases. The Permian fell 3 rigs to 310. That's 36 fewer rigs than the 346 rigs active across the region last year. Lee County, New Mexico, remains the most active county in the Permian with 58 rigs, up 2 for the week. Eddy County, New Mexico, is second with 44, up 1. Martin County gained 2 rigs for 42. Reeves County reported the steepest decline, falling 3 rigs to 29. Loving County fell 1 rig to 25, followed by Midland County with 23, down 1 rig. Ward County held steady at 13 rigs a second week. Glasscock County reported 12 rigs for a fourth week. And Howard County had 10 rigs, down 1 for the week. Enverus Foundations, part of the Energy Focus software as a service firm Enverus, said its U.S. rig count reached as much as 682 during the week ended November 1st. Down by 5 from the previous week's high point. The count is up 4 rigs, or 1%, in the last month, but down 204 rigs, or 23%, year over year. The last week saw gains of 4 rigs in the Gulf Coast to 81, and of 3 rigs each in the DJ and Anadarko basins to 18 and 50, respectively. These more than offset the losses in other major plays, a 3-rig drop in Appalachia to 38, a 2-rig Permian decline to 302, and the loss of 1 rig in the Williston Basin to 35. However, the overall trend in the U.S. was driven by areas outside of major plays, where 9 fewer rigs were active. Small Bites. Hawaiian Brothers opening date, festivities, menu. Hawaiian Brothers restaurant manager Rose Glass Harris gave Midlanders a sneak peek with her Facebook post about the restaurant's opening day. The Island Grill will open to the Tall City public on December 11th. However, a two-day VIP event will take place on December 8th and 9th, featuring free food, gift cards, free meal cards, and other grand opening goodies for attendees. Rose also said there is no VIP sign-up list. Guests just need to show up between 11 a.m. and 2 p.m., or 5 p.m. and 8 p.m. on either day. As for full menu items, Hawaiian Brothers prides itself on its plate style choices. Options come in small, classic, and large, are all entirely nut-free, and all gluten-free, excluding the macaroni salad and chow mein on the Pacific Island salad. A typical plate will come with a scoop of rice, a scoop of macaroni salad, and extra rice under a choice of protein. Substitute side options include a mix of seasoned veggies, pineapple, or spam musubi. Slice of spam, seared and glazed in teriyaki, on top of rice wrapped in dried seaweed. Additional charges may apply. Protein options include huli huli chicken, teriyaki, molokai chicken, mild, medium, sweet, and spicy, Honolulu chicken, garlic, green onion, sesame, kalawia chicken, lava hot, sweet and spicy, seasoned veggies for non-meat eaters, and luau pig, slow-roasted kalua pork with Hawaiian sea salt. Guests can mix any two entrees in one plate for an extra dollar, only available in classic and large sizes. Dole soft serve is the only dessert, and drinks include bottled water, fountain drinks, and tropical fruit drinks made in Hawaii called Hawaiian Sun. The Pacific Island salad is the only greens-based option. The restaurant also offers catering. Midlanders can find Hawaiian Brothers next to the Raising Cane's at 3320 West Loop 250 North. Small Bites, the Palms taking over the Garlic Press building. A new restaurant will be taking over the Garlic Press was located. After the beloved restaurant closed in May, the Garlic Press sat vacant. Now the West Wadley Avenue building still showcases the original light green color, but a sign reading The Palms hangs on the far right side of the establishment. Through the windows, construction equipment and decor lay on the stripped floors. A new paint job has been completed and other touches appear to be in the works. According to Gerenda Washburn, Garlic Press owner, The Palms is owned by a local restaurateur. She said he currently owns the Buffalo Wild Wings in Odessa. The Reporter-Telegram is still working on getting in contact. Washburn also said she could not confirm the speculations from community members and other business owners in the Midland area Foodies Facebook page, saying the restaurant will be a Cuban steakhouse. As of right now, an opening date is not set and an online presence for The Palms ceases to exist. Community Calendar, Veterans Day Celebration. The Permian Warrior Partnership and Midland College's inaugural Veterans Day Celebration will take place November 11th at Midland College. The event is from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. and designed to honor those who've served and will include a 5K run, 1K fun run, veterans' $1,000 cornhole competition, chili feed, petting zoo, and a veteran ceremony. Veterans Day Breakfast. Young Women's Leadership Academy will have its Veterans Day breakfast from 8 a.m. to 9:15 a.m. on Thursday. MCRW's Veterans Day event. The Midland County Republican Women will have a Veterans Day celebration at 11:30 a.m. Wednesday at Midland Country Club. All veterans will enjoy a complimentary meal. Contact Denise at PerkinsPromotions.com for more information or to reserve a seat. Community Calendar. Midland Gem and Mineral Society 60th Annual Show at Bush Convention Center Saturday. Midland Gun Exposition at the Horseshoe, November 18th through 19th. 12th Annual Turkey Trot at Memorial Stadium, November 23rd. Midland Fair Haven's 12th Annual Gingerbread Haven at the Horseshoe, December 5th. Regular events. Rescue Runners, 8 to 10 a.m., 1st and 3rd Saturdays, Midland Animal Shelter. Gentle Healing Yoga for Cancer-Impacted People, noon and 5:30 p.m. Monday. Yoga Sanctuary, 4202 Don Circle, 79707. One Bite at a Times Cancer Support Groups every second Tuesday of each month, 7 p.m. at 3813 North Midland Drive. Upcoming meetings, Midland Development Corp., 10 a.m. Monday, Chamber of Commerce Boardroom, 303 West Wall Street, Suite 200. Planning and Zoning, 3:30 p.m. Monday, Council Chamber, City Hall, 300 North Lorraine Street. Commissioner's Court, 9 a.m. Tuesday, Commissioner's Courtroom, Midland County Courthouse, 500 North Lorraine Street. What's up with Midland? Bush Convention Center, Gem and Mineral Show, Saturday and Sunday. Superior Career Fair, November 9th, Festival of Trees, November 10th through 12th. Centennial Park, Our Texas, Our Future screening, Saturday. Rise and Run, November 18th. Colorado Street, Downtown Farmers Market, new location, every Saturday. The Destination, John Cott Band, Saturday. Friday Night Live, Wolfstock, 2023, November 10th. Open Mic Night, November 16th. The Chad Cook Band, November 18th. Horseshoe, Christmas Village Market, Saturday and Sunday. Pro Petro Fall Festival, Saturday. Turkey Fest and Car Show, November 11th. Heart Energy Executive Oil Conference and Exhibition, November 15th through 16th. La Hacienda, Tio Gonzalez, Saturday. Steve Aoki with Bonnie X. Clyde, November 10th. Justin Moore, November 17th. Los Tigres del Norte, November 24th. Midland Community Theater, The Girl on the Train, Saturday and Sunday, November 10th through 11th. Sound of Music, November 17th through December 16th. The Tailgate, Family Fun Day every Sunday. Tall City Brewing Company, Geeks Who Drink Trivia every Tuesday. Tall City Beer Run every Thursday. Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, C.S. Lewis on Stage, Further Up and Further In, Sunday. Disney Junior Live on Tour, Costume Palooza, November 8th. An American Salute to Our Veterans Masterwork Series, November 11th. Paw Patrol Live, Heroes Unite, November 18th through 19th. Jones Elementary teacher seeks reading materials for students with dyslexia. Ms. Lewis, a teacher at Jones Elementary, is seeking books for students with dyslexia. The project expires February 2nd. There is $871 needed to fully fund it. Quote, they, students with dyslexia, cannot read the grade-level books that their peers are reading, but they do not want to read baby books either, end quote, Lewis posted on donorschoose.com. Lewis is asking for copies of her students' favorite books, the Tom and Ricky Mysteries, as well as phonics, skill-based books that will reinforce the lessons being taught in her class. Donate online, https://www.donorschoose.org/project/dyslexic-students-can-read-books-2/7916848/. Life Tributes, Frances Loretta Hodges, 1/15/1927 to 10/26/2023. Frances Loretta Park Hodges went to be with her Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, on Thursday, October 26, 2023. She was born on January 15, 1927, to Minnie Mayhew Park and W.J. Park, Jr., near Winters, Texas. Loretta was also known as Retta to her friends and Gimma to her 14 grandchildren, 34 great-grandchildren, and 3 great-great-grandchildren. Loretta was preceded in death by her husband and 3 sons, Rufus Weldon Hodges, William Blaine Hodges, and Terry Park Hodges. Also preceding her in death were grandson Kenny Hodges and great-grandson Christian Drews, sister Minnie Worthington, and brothers Chester Park and William Ray Park. She is survived by her son Kenneth Dell Hodges and wife Chong Hee of Fort Worth, and daughter Anne Elizabeth Wilton and husband Kevin of Midland. Loretta is also survived by Dolores, Justin, and Larry Baralek of Axtell and Peggy Rosser of San Angelo. Surviving grandchildren are Lori Franco and husband John, Christine Oliver and husband Jason, Marcia Drews and husband David, Leah Eggenberger and husband Jason, Stephen Hodges and wife Kelly, Deborah Sterling and husband Aubrey, Chris Hodges and wife Selena, Brian Hodges and wife Claire, Carrie Mayer and husband John, Jeff Hodges and wife Jennifer, Sally Sheridan and wife Jessica, Don Wilkerson, Katie Backus and husband Ben, and many great and great-great-grandchildren. In lieu of flowers, the family requests that you make a donation to her church, Glen Meadows Baptist Church, 6002 Knickerbocker Road, San Angelo, Texas, 76904. The family will receive friends for visitation Saturday, November 11th, 2023, from 9 to 11 a.m. at Ellis Funeral Home, 4616 North Big Spring Street. Graveside services will begin at 11 a.m. at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Please visit ellisfunerals.com to leave online condolences. Floyd Skipper Clay, 1-11-1945 to 10-12-2023. On October 12, 2023, Floyd Skipper Clay finished the fight and won the race set before him here on earth and was welcomed into the presence of God. Floyd, known throughout his life as Skipper, was born to Lawrence and Jesse R. Clay on January 11, 1945, in San Angelo, Texas. Skipper leaves to mourn, yet cherish and memorialize him, his daughter Donna Clay, son Floyd Lil Skipper Clay, Sonia, both of Midland, brothers Harvey Clay, Shirley, of Shreveport, Louisiana, Don Clay of Midland, Texas, his stepdaughters Karen Wilson, Jay, of Colorado, and Katie Nudson, Don, of Granbury, Texas. Cherishing his memory are his grandchildren, Demond Holly Clay, of Southlake, Texas, Kristen Clay of Mansfield, Texas, Brittany and Brianna Clay of Spring, Texas, Floyd Clay III of Galveston, Texas, Jordan Ramsher, Jaden Ramsher, and Kennedy Clay, all of Midland, Texas, James Wilson Jr. of Colorado, George Kuhn V, and Austin Kuhn, all of Colorado, Joe Waters of Washington State, and Angie Waters of Granbury, Texas, along with numerous great-grandchildren. Those who preceded him in joining Christ are his loving parents, Lawrence and Jesse May, brother Carl, daughter Melba Sue, stepson George, and wife Brenda. Shirley Orr Smith, 6-4-1937 to 10-29-2023. Shirley Ray Orr Smith, a devoted wife, mother, and mentor, passed away on October 29, 2023, leaving behind a legacy of love and service. Born in Kilgore, Texas, Shirley's journey was one of unwavering dedication to God, family, and all whom she met. Shirley is survived by her son, Lonzo Smith, and wife, Deborah, and her daughter, Lori Smith Weckworth, and husband, Jim, who carry forward her values and spirit. Shirley was a proud grandmother to Jeanette, Craig, and husband, Garrett, Eric DeMarcus and wife, Kathleen, Francis Smith, Jacob Woolley, and wife, Jessica, and Taylor Woolley, and wife, Lindsay. Shirley was also a great-grandmother to 14, and she delighted in each of them. Frank Smith, her husband of 67 years, preceded Shirley in death by 21 days. Shirley's parents, Lonzo Q. Orr Jr. and Ruby Lee Cloud Orr, along with her brothers, Tommy Dean Orr and Robert Newton Orr, have all passed on. A memorial service to celebrate Shirley's life will be held on November 4th at 4 o'clock p.m. in the Ortloff Room in the clubhouse at Manor Park, 2208 North Loop 250 West. Midland, Texas, 79707. In lieu of flowers, the family kindly requests donations be made to Manor Park, Inc. at the address above or at www.manorparkinc.org. Charles Herman Sides, 4-18-1956 to 10-27-2023. Charles Sides, 67, of Midland, Texas, passed away on Friday, October 27, 2023, after a battle with lung cancer. Born in Kermit to Ben and Wanda Sides, he attended local schools in Midland and graduated from Lee High School in 1974. He is predeceased by his parents and his sister, Becky. He is survived by his son, B.C., and his sister, Carol Staggs, and her husband, Roy. Her children, Preston and Alan Willis, his sister Becky's children, Brandon and Brian and Lisa Lee, and multiple grandnieces and nephews. Cristino Alberto Heredia, 5-25-1970 to 11-1-2023. Cristino Alberto Heredia, age 53, of Midland, Texas, passed away November 1, 2023. Cristino was born on May 25, 1970 to Cosme Heredia Jr. and Paula Carrillo in Midland, Texas. Left to cherish his loving memories are his daughter, Tabitha Heredia, and husband, Fabian, father, Cosma Heredia Jr., mother, Paula Carrillo Jimenez, brothers, Cosma Heredia III, Jerry Colazo, sisters, Sylvia Gerganasius, Amy Jimenez, Vanessa Sylvia, Sally Valdez, Patrica Collazo, grandchildren Abrielle Torres, Chase Torres, Ariani Torres, Peyton Torres, and extended family. A visitation will be held Saturday, November 4th, 2023, starting at 10 o'clock a.m. until 5:30 p.m., with a chapel service to begin at 6 o'clock p.m. at Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home Chapel, 1502 North La Mesa Road, Midland, Texas. Cristino's family is requesting family and friends to wear Dallas Cowboys attire on Saturday. Funeral arrangements are under the care and direction of Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Online condolences can be made at asanchezTFH.com. Isidro Zubia. Isidro Zubia passed from this life on Monday, October 30th, 2023, at Midland Memorial Hospital in Midland, Texas, at the age of 47. He was born in Odessa, Texas, on Thursday, May 13th, 1976, to Isidro Zubia and Angelica Villanueva. No services have been scheduled at this time. Arrangements are entrusted to Acres West Funeral Chapel, and condolences to the family may be sent online at acreswestfuneral.com. Juan Fadoa Moya. Juan Fadoa Moya, age 82, of Midland, Texas, went to be with the Lord November 1st, 2023, with his loving family by his side. Visitations will be held Sunday, November 5th, 2023, from 1 o'clock p.m. to 8 o'clock p.m. at Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home, as well as Monday, November 6th, 2023, from 9 o'clock a.m. to 8 o'clock p.m., with a rosary at 7 o'clock p.m. Funeral services will be held Tuesday, November 7th, 2023, at 2 o'clock p.m. at Our Lady of Guadalupe Catholic Church. Interment will immediately follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens Cemetery. Funeral arrangements have been entrusted to Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Online condolences can be made at asanchezTFH.com. John Wade Calhoun. John Wade Calhoun, age 85, of Midland, passed away on Wednesday, November 1st, 2023. John was born in Pocahontas, Arkansas. The family will receive friends for visitation on Sunday, November 5th, 2023, from 1 o'clock p.m. to 5 o'clock p.m. at Ellis Funeral Home, 4616 North Big Spring Street. Funeral services will be held on Monday, November 6, 2023, at 10 o'clock a.m. at Ellis Funeral Home's chapel, followed by interment at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Please visit ellisfunerals.com to leave online condolences. Things to know about the Midland ISD bond proposition. Items addressed: the building of two new high schools to replace Midland High and Legacy High, $985.2 million. Middle school improvements, $119 million. Safety, security, and accessibility, $50.4 million. Improvement to current facilities / deferred maintenance, $207.5 million. A new elementary school in Northeast Midland, $53.3 million. Cost, $1.415 billion, does not include interest. A successful bond could mean an increase in the INS tax rate to 21.75 cents per $100 valuation, according to the district. About the high schools. The signature piece of this bond will be the two Class 6A high schools. The updated blueprint for these campuses, which will be located at the current Ranchland Hills Golf Course and south of the Scarborough Sports Complex, respectively, emphasizes a core size of 4,200 students while allowing for the flexible, phased expansion of classrooms designed for 3,800 students, according to the district. The new Midland High and Legacy High School will replace the current 74-year-old and 62-year-old high school facilities. Legacy would join Midland Freshman High School and the four current junior high schools as part of the district's middle school sites. MHS campus overview. Square footage, 307,980. Total site area, 20.4 acres. Functional capacity, 2,180. Current enrollment, 2,554. Legacy campus overview. Square footage, 372,667. Total site area, 48.5 acres. Functional capacity, 2,065. Current enrollment, 2,574. Proposed campuses. Functional student capacity, 3,800. MHS campus site, 113 acres. LHS campus site, 131 acres. Grade reconfiguration. Passage of the bond allows for the grade reconfiguration that the school district has sought for years. High school campuses would house students in grades 9 through 12, middle schools 6 through 8, and elementary schools pre-K through 5. One benefit of the grade reconfiguration play is the expected 1,500 additional pre-K seats at campuses across Midland. That would help Midland, which had 95% of 3-year-olds missing pre-K opportunities and 33% of 4-year-olds missing pre-K opportunities during the 2021-22 school year, according to the Texas Education Agency. Portables. According to the district, there were 115 portable classrooms on district campuses at the end of July. That number will explode in the next 10 years to 245 if nothing is done, according to MISD. The district expects enrollment to grow at an annual growth rate of 1.6% a year, or jump from 27,821 students in 2023 to 32,146 in 2033. A decision to build two new 4,200-seat high schools will reduce the number of portable classrooms needed to 38. According to the district and bond planning committee members who presented its findings to the MISD school board. Enrollment. Midland ISD reported an enrollment of 28,649 on September 13th. That total was greater than the 27,842 reported in 2022-23. A demographic report shows enrollment expected to hit 30,588 in 2027-28 and 32,146 in 2032-33. Notable enrollments. 2013-14, 23,560. 2017-18, 25,716. 2019-20, 26,432. 2020-21, 25,579. 2021-22, 26,389. 2022-23, 27,842. 2023-24, 28,649, denotes as of September 13th. Indoor practice facilities. Each campus will receive a 100-yard indoor practice facility / multipurpose facilities. Superintendent Stephanie Howard had told the Reporter-Telegram in July that the combined price tag of the two were $77.4 million. The projects were later scaled back to cost $20 million each, or around $40 million. A 48.4% reduction. About Midland High and Legacy freshmen. There are still no plans for what might be in store for those campuses or information provided that the facilities are salvageable. MISD debt. Principal of the debt obligations to be authorized, $1.415 billion. Estimated interest for the debt obligations to be authorized, $1.506 billion. Estimated combined principal and interest required to pay on time and in full the debt obligations to be authorized, $2.921 billion. Principal of all outstanding debt obligations of the district, $129.919 million. Estimated remaining interest on all outstanding debt obligations of the district, $42.427 million. Estimated combined principal and interest required to pay on time and in full the debt obligations of the district, $172.347 million. Source, MISD. MISD tax rates, confirmed by the district this past week. The tax rate for the 2022-23 fiscal year, tax year 2022, 91.48 cents per $100 valuation. The tax rate for 2023-24 fiscal year, tax year 2023, 87.70 cents per $100 valuation. If the bond passes for 2024-25 school year, tax year 2024, 87.70 cents per $100 valuation. The district does not expect that the overall tax rate set at 87.70 cents in September of 2023 will increase for tax year 2024, 2025, or any future year if the bond proposition is passed. If the bond fails for the 2024-25 school year, tax year 2024, 66.95 and 69.95 cents per $100 valuation. This past fiscal year, the tax bill for the average home was $2,442. Tax notes. Taxpayers over 65 can have their tax levy frozen when an over 65 exemption is granted, according to the school district. A bond impacts the interest and sinking INS tax rate. The interest and sinking rate, unlike the maintenance and operations rate, is not impacted by recapture. Three categories make up total taxable property: oil, gas, and other minerals at 52%, real property, excluding commercial and industry, at 32%, commercial and industry at 16%. West Texas INS tax rates. INS taxes levied to repay debt are not subject to recapture. Lubbock Cooper, 50 cents per $100 valuation. Friendship ISD, 48 cents per $100 valuation. Iselta ISD, 47.5 cents per $100 valuation. Abilene ISD, 32.84 cents per $100 valuation. Midland ISD, 21.75 cents per $100 valuation. Ector County ISD, 19.69 cents per $100 valuation. Amarillo ISD, 15.90 cents per $100 valuation. Andrews ISD, 14.00 cents per $100 valuation. Greenwood ISD, 11.85 cents per $100 valuation. San Angelo ISD, 11.74 cents per $100 valuation. Big Spring ISD, 7.63 cents per $100 valuation. Largest school bond programs passed in Texas prior to November 7th. Dallas ISD 2020, $3.541 billion. Austin ISD 2022, $2.439 billion. Northwest ISD 2023, $1.995 billion. Cypress Fairbanks 2019, $1.762 billion. Dallas ISD 2015, $1.600 billion. Lamar CISD 2022, $1.516 billion. Denton ISD 2023, $1.418 billion. Sources: Midland ISD and Hilltop Securities. Bond Street continues. Midlanders have turned down 7 of the last 11 MISD propositions put before the voters. That number goes back to 1996. What is also true is Midlanders have passed 4 of the last 6, the exceptions being the building of a Southside Elementary School in 2003 and the 2019 bond. Prior to 2019, Midland voters had handed MISD 3 straight bond election victories and approved more than $260 million in projects. Midland County Election Day Information. Election Day Information. Time and day, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Tuesday. Voting Centers. Annex Courtroom, 2110 North A Street. Beale Park Ranch House, 5200 West Wall Street. Bush Convention Center, 105 North Main Street. Centennial Library, 2503 West Loop, 250 North. Cogdell Learning Center, 201 West Florida Avenue. Cotton Flat Baptist Church, 6409 South Highway, 349. Downtown Library, 301 West Missouri Avenue. Fairmont Park Church of Christ, 3813 North Midland Drive. Fellowship Community Church, 5206 North Midland Drive. Golf Course Road Church of Christ, 3500 West Golf Course. Greater Ideal Life Center, 301 South Tyler Street. Greenwood Baptist Church, 10908 FM 307. Holy Cross Lutheran Church, 5100 North Garfield Street. Horseshoe Education Building, 2514 Arena Trail. Mid-Cities Community Church, 8700 State Highway 191. Midland Chin Emanuel Church, 2705 West Michigan. MLK Junior Community Center, 2300 Butternut Lane. NE Volunteer Fire Department, 5310 East County Road 60. Odessa Country Club, number 1 Fairway Drive. Presence Church, 901 Midland Drive. Stonegate Fellowship Church, 6000 West Wadley Avenue. The Orchard Church, 6112 State Highway 349. Village at Manor Park, Margaret Cowden Clubhouse, 5212 Sinclair Avenue. What's on the ballot? 14 state propositions. Midland ISD Special Election District 7. Brian Murray, Joshua Gwynn. Note, eligible precincts, 110, split, 401, 404, 407, 408, split, 409, and 411. Midland ISD Proposition A, the issuance of $1.415 billion school building bonds for the design, construction, acquisition, rehabilitation, renovation, expansion, improvement, and equipment of school buildings in the district, including two new high schools, middle school expansion, renovation and improvement, district-wide safety and security, a new elementary school, and rehabilitation and improvement of existing facilities and the level and imposition of taxes sufficient to pay the principal of and interest on the bonds and the costs of any credit agreements. This is a property tax increase. Note, eligible precincts. All Midland County precincts except 201 and except 202 and 202A. Greenwood ISD Proposition A, the issuance of $198.77 million of bonds by the Greenwood Independent School District for the construction, renovation, acquisition, and equipment of school facilities in the district, including but not limited to improvements to enhance safety and security, including the acquisition of land thereof, therefore, and the levy of taxes sufficient to pay the principal and interest on the bonds. This is a property tax increase. Greenwood ISD Proposition B, the issuance of $87 million of bonds by the Greenwood Independent School District for the construction, renovation, acquisition, and equipment of a student special event center and a student multipurpose center, including the acquisition of land therefor, and the levy of taxes sufficient to pay the principal and interest on the bonds. This is a property tax increase. Note, eligible precincts 202 and 202A. Election information. Information provided for the general elections of 2006, 2010, 2014, 2018, 2022. Gubernatorial elections, the MISD bond election of 2019, the proposition mayoral election of 2013, the hospital district bond election of 2009, and the MISD bond election of 2003. Early total percentage voting votes of electorate. 2022, 25,126, 35,903, 37.11. 2019, 14,887, 24,862, 29.11. 2018, 29,142, 40,733, 48.15. 2014, 12,844, 23,687, 31.48. 2013, 7,323, 14,772, 20.35. 2010, 14,772, 28,146, 39.24. 2009, 5,302, 8,207, 11.69. 2006, 12,183, 24,945, NA. 2003, 10,306, 17,598, 27.46. Registered voters, 2022, 96,743, 2019, 85,421, 2018, 84,588, 2016, 80,329, 2014, 75,232, 2010, 71,732, 2009, 70,735. Source, Midland County Elections Office. Life Tributes, Frances Loretta Hodges, 1/15/1927 to 10/26/2023. Frances Loretta Park Hodges went to be with her Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, on Thursday, October 26, 2023. She was born on January 15, 1927, to Minnie Mayhew Park and W.J. Park, Jr., near Winters, Texas. Loretta was also known as Retta to her friends, and Gimma to her 14 grandchildren, 34 great-grandchildren, and 3 great-great-grandchildren. Loretta was preceded in death by her husband and 3 sons, Rufus Weldon Hodges, William Blaine Hodges, and Terry Park Hodges. Also preceding her in death were grandson Kenny Hodges and great-grandson Christian Drews, sister Minnie Worthington, and brothers Chester Park and William Ray Park. She is survived by her son, Kenneth Dell Hodges, and wife, Chong Hee of Fort Worth, and daughter Anne Elizabeth Wilton, and husband Kevin of Midland. Loretta is also survived by Dolores, Justin, and Larry Baralek of Axtell, and Peggy Rosser of San Angelo. Surviving grandchildren are Lori Franco and husband John, Christine Oliver and husband Jason, Marcia Drews and husband David, Leah Eggenberger and husband Jason, Stephen Hodges and wife Kelly, Deborah Sterling and husband Aubrey, Chris Hodges and wife Selena, Brian Hodges and wife Claire, Carrie Mayer and husband John, Jeff Hodges and wife Jennifer, Sally Sheridan and wife Jessica, Don Wilkerson, Katie Backus and husband Ben, and many great and great-great-grandchildren. In lieu of flowers, the family requests that you make a donation to her church, Glen Meadows Baptist Church, 6002 Knickerbocker Road, San Angelo, Texas, 76904. The family will receive friends for visitation Saturday, November 11th, 2023, from 9 to 11 a.m. at Ellis Funeral Home, 4616 North Big Spring Street. Graveside services will begin at 11 a.m. at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Please visit ellisfunerals.com to leave online condolences. Floyd Skipper Clay, 1-11-1945 to 10-12-2023. On October 12, 2023, Floyd Skipper Clay finished the fight and won the race set before him here on earth and was welcomed into the presence of God. Floyd, known throughout his life as Skipper, was born to Lawrence and Jesse R. Clay on January 11, 1945 in San Angelo, Texas. Skipper leaves to mourn, yet cherish and memorialize him, his daughter Donna Clay, son Floyd Lil Skipper Clay, Sonia, both of Midland, brothers Harvey Clay, Shirley of Shreveport, Louisiana, Don Clay of Midland, Texas, his stepdaughters Karen Wilson, Jay of Colorado, and Katie Knudsen, Don of Granbury, Texas. Cherishing his memory are his grandchildren, Demond Holly Clay of Southlake, Texas, Kristen Clay of Mansfield, Texas, Brittany and Brianna Clay of Spring, Texas, Floyd Clay III of Galveston, Texas, Jordan Ramsher, Jaden Ramsher, and Kennedy Clay, all of Midland, Texas, James Wilson Jr. of Colorado, George Kuhn V, and Austin Kuhn, all of Colorado, Joe Waters of Washington State, and Angie Waters of Granbury, Texas, along with numerous great-grandchildren. Those who preceded him in joining Christ are his loving parents, Lawrence and Jesse May, brother Carl, daughter Melba Sue, stepson George, and wife Brenda. Shirley Orr Smith, 6-4-1937 to 10-29-2023. Shirley Ray Orr Smith, a devoted wife, mother, and mentor, passed away on October 29, 2023, leaving behind a legacy of love and service. Born in Kilgore, Texas, Shirley's journey was one of unwavering dedication to God, family, and all whom she met. Shirley is survived by her son, Lonzo Smith, and wife, Deborah, and her daughter, Lori Smith Weckworth, and husband, Jim, who carry forward her values and spirit. Shirley was a proud grandmother to Jeanette, Craig, and husband, Garrett, Eric DeMarcus and wife, Kathleen, Francis Smith, Jacob Woolley, and wife Jessica, and Taylor Woolley, and wife Lindsay. Shirley was also a great-grandmother to 14, and she delighted in each of them. Frank Smith, her husband of 67 years, preceded Shirley in death by 21 days. Shirley's parents, Lonzo Q. Orr Jr. and Ruby Lee Cloud Orr, along with her brothers, Tommy Dean Orr and Robert Newton Orr, have all passed on. A memorial service to celebrate Shirley's life will be held on November 4th at 4 o'clock p.m. in the Ortloff Room in the clubhouse at Manor Park, 2208 North Loop 250 West, Midland, Texas, 79707. In lieu of flowers, the family kindly requests donations be made to Manor Park, Inc. at the address above or at www.manorparkinc.org. Charles Herman Sides, 4/18/1956 to 10/27/2023. Charles Sides, 67, of Midland, Texas, passed away on Friday, October 27, 2023, after a battle with lung cancer. Born in Kermit to Ben and Wanda Sides, he attended local schools in Midland and graduated from Lee High School in 1974. He is predeceased by his parents and his sister, Becky. He is survived by his son, B.C., and his sister, Carol Staggs, and her husband, Roy. Her children, Preston and Alan Willis, his sister Becky's children, Brandon and Brian and Lisa Lee, and multiple grandnieces and nephews. Cristino Alberto Heredia, 5/25/1970 to 11/1/2023. Cristino Alberto Heredia, age 53, of Midland, Texas, passed away November 1st, 2023. Cristina was born on May 25, 1970, to Cosme Heredia, Jr. and Paula Carrillo in Midland, Texas. Left to cherish his loving memories are his daughter, Tabitha Heredia, and husband, Fabian, father, Cosme Heredia, Jr., mother, Paula Carrillo Jimenez, brothers, Cosme Heredia III, Jerry Collazo, sisters, Sylvia Gerganasius, Amy Jimenez, Vanessa Sylvia, Sally Valdez, Patrica Collazo, grandchildren Abriel Torres, Chase Torres, Ariani Torres, Peyton Torres, and extended family. A visitation will be held Saturday, November 4th, 2023, starting at 10 o'clock a.m. until 5:30 p.m., with a chapel service to begin at 6 o'clock p.m. at Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home Chapel, 1502 North La Mesa Road, Midland, Texas. Cristino's family is requesting family and friends to wear Dallas Cowboys attire on Saturday. Funeral arrangements are under the care and direction of Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Online condolences can be made at asanchezTFH.com. Isidro Zubia. Isidro Zubia passed from this life on Monday, October 30th, 2023, at Midland Memorial Hospital in Midland, Texas, at the age of 47. He was born in Odessa, Texas, on Thursday, May 13, 1976, to Isidro Zubia and Angelica Villanueva. No services have been scheduled at this time. Arrangements are entrusted to Acres West Funeral Chapel, and condolences to the family may be sent online at acreswestfuneral.com. Juan Fadoa Moya, age 82, of Midland, Texas, went to be with the Lord November 1st, 2023, with his loving family by his side. Visitations will be held Sunday, November 5th, 2023, from 1 o'clock p.m. to 8 o'clock p.m. at Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home, as well as Monday, November 6th, 2023, from 9 o'clock a.m. to 8 o'clock p.m., with a rosary at 7 o'clock p.m. Funeral services will be held Tuesday, November 7, 2023, at 2 o'clock p.m. at Our Lady of Guadalupe Catholic Church. Interment will immediately follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens Cemetery. Funeral arrangements have been entrusted to Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Online condolences can be made at asanchezTFH.com. John Wade Calhoun, age 85, of Midland, passed away on Wednesday, November 1, 2023. John was born in Pocahontas, Arkansas. The family will receive friends for visitation on Sunday, November 5, 2023, from 1 o'clock p.m. to 5 o'clock p.m. at Ellis Funeral Home, 4616 North Big Spring Street. Funeral services will be held on Monday, November 6, 2023, at 10 o'clock a.m. at Ellis Funeral Home's chapel, followed by interment at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Please visit ellisfunerals.com to leave online condolences.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.